Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother,
what's up?
This is a Cuban party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Right on.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Professor Reams and all the co-hosts and listeners.
Good morning, Vera. Good morning, Cousin V, and all the listeners as well, and Clarence as well. Yes.
Clarence, I think he's going to be out the first part of the show. He's going to try to get in today, so we wish him prayers for his
I'm here, Cousin V.
Take his dog in. Oh, well, welcome, Clarence. How's your dog doing?
She's not doing well, but I'm taking care of her, and you know, the vet appointment's all the way out to Thursday, so I'm nursing her, and you know, but first of all, I'd like to say what's going on to all our listeners out there, to you, Cousin V, Professor Reigns, Vera, the rest of the co-hosts, and once again, we are tuned into the world's greatest Monday morning blog talk show, the Eddie Justice Jones blog talk show, where we got the hot button topics, subject matter experts. So Cousin V is back to you, and good morning, Professor Reigns and Vera.
Good morning,
Clarence. Miss Linda, you're on the line also.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Linda.
Good to hear all your voices.
I don't ever want to leave her out.
Well, good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Clarence, and Professor Reigns, and Cousin V, and all the other wonderful people on the show.
This is our number 215th show, so thank God for that. And then, like I said, we're going to say a prayer for Clarence's dog, Sassy, because we want her to be okay. So I know it's hard to lose a animal, but they'll become a part of our family. So we'll say a prayer for you, Clarence, and wish her well. We have a caller in 818-795. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, this is Pastor Jones. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Let me Bluetooth in my earpieces right now, please. Hold on 1 second.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning, everybody. How you guys doing? God bless you guys.
Good morning, Pastor Eddie.
Good morning. Good morning. Okay, I'm trying to Bluetooth in my, let's see, trying to Bluetooth. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
Oh, yes, you sound great.
Okay. Okay, hold on, you guys. Keep going, Cousin V.
This morning we don't have any really special guests, but we have two great topics this morning. And
yeah, we do have a special guest. We have a special guest. Our special guest is going to be Eric Tover, and he's a chef, and he's going to be our special guest this morning. And I'm just trying to pair my earplugs here, my AirPods. Give me a second.
Okay, well, I know.
But meanwhile, go ahead, Cousin V.
Electronics, we have a hard time getting everything typed in, but we do have our word of the week, we have our scripture of the week, and we have our two topics. So as Eddie gets ready, he can introduce our co-host. I don't see him in the queue yet. So we will just go around and let Miss Linda start us off this morning with a poem, because she's always ready. Good morning, Miss Linda.
Good morning, Cousin V. Well, because I was, it was suggested that I share this on Monday morning, and we all can probably relate. It's called Sugar Junkies. We all are sugar junkies. It's added to the mix, and everything that's packaged, you're sure to get your fix, but only for the moment. Your craving, it won't cease. It holds you fast until at last you're desperate for release. We all are sugar junkies and think that it's a treat, but every trick that's in its bag is aimed at your defeat. In childhood, we embrace it, but later on, we face it. It's such a pretty poison and favorite of cooks. We sacrifice our life to it because of taste and looks.
All right. Good.
Oh, superb, superb. I don't think of anything of chocolate, but I won't now.
It is so true, though. We have a call in 310-977. Would you like to introduce yourself? call in the 310-977 area code. And then I have another caller in the 310-977. Are you there? Well, since we're waiting on them and Eddie got kicked out, so we're going to go around to everyone to say what they would like to say to Ms. Linda about that Sugar Junkie poem. She was a guest on Dr. Aretha's show on Saturday, and I said, we need to share that one because that is so true of us. But first of all, good morning, Cousin Talana. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Cousin V. Good morning to Professor, and good morning to Clarence and to Providence Monica. Shout out to all of our listeners and guests, and God bless everyone. Happy Monday. Love you, Cousin V.
Good morning, Butterfly.
Good morning, Talana.
Yeah. Good morning, Butterfly. Happy Monday, everybody.
Talana, did you hear the poem Ms. Linda gave us about Sugar Junkie?
No, unfortunately, I missed it.
Well, we will let her read it again while Eddie comes back in, and also everyone can go around and tell her what they think about her poem. So, Ms. Linda, could you read it once more?
Okay. We all are sugar junkies. It's added to the mix. In everything that's packaged, you're sure to get your fix, but only for the moment. Your craving, it won't cease. It holds you fast until at last you're desperate for release. We all are sugar junkies and think that it's a treat, but every trick that's in its bag is aimed at your defeat. In childhood, we embrace it, but later on, we face it. It's such a pretty poison and a favorite of cooks. We sacrifice our life to it because of taste and looks.
All right, Cousin Talana.
So
Talana, what did you think about the
poem? Linda, I have to say that's absolutely true. We indulge as children, and it was funny. Listening to that poem reminded me of when we were children, there was this penny candy store where we can go and we would save up our coin from our allowance and we would go around the corner and we would buy as many pieces of candy that our heart was, could be content with. And my sister and I, we love candy. Even like during the holidays, Christmas, Easter, yes, just anything that came to with candy. So I do understand that part. And then said it becomes addicting later. So now as elders, we can't have sweets. Sweets cause high blood pressure. They cause diabetes. They cause a lot of underlying issues now. And then hyperactiveness also if you don't take care of yourself. So, or you can get fatigue if you eat too much candy. So, yes. Bravo on the poem, Linda. You hit the nail right on the hammer. Or other way around, hit the hammer right on the nail. Excuse me.
I know what you mean. It's okay.
Okay, Cousin Barry, what did you think about the poem since you're a holistic health person?
Well, you know what? I really adore it, and I love that. And like Talana was mentioning, as a kid, I didn't eat a lot of candy, but I did have a favorite. It was the wine candy, Fun Dip, and Now and Laters. And you know what?
Yes.
Sugar is definitely a trick for sure, because guess what? We do sacrifice our life for it, for just some sugar. Can you believe that? And then, yes, as Talana mentioned, we face it later. So that sugar poem, I love it.
Like you would.
Alan.
Yes, Cousin V, when we, you know, I was listening to those holidays Talana mentioned, and the greatest sugar holiday of all is Halloween, you know. So I don't think there's no more sweet given out on Halloween than any other holiday, if I said that in the correct order. But the sugar companies did a great manipulation over the history of time in getting us as people to ingest and digest it. It's in about just about everything we eat now that's processed has some form of sugar, and also its cousin salt. So, you know, it's you know, as a child, it's our favorite treat. As an adult, it's our late-night guilty pleasures. I know I'm guilty of it, you know, having my little late-night guilty pleasure at night with some sort of dessert or something like that. You know, I get up under my cover. You can't stay away from those sweets, and I'm under there snacking away. So, you know.
Good morning. Good morning. Can you guys hear me, Clarence? Clarence, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you guys so much. No. Good morning, everybody. Talana, Professor Reams, everybody that's on the show, Cousin V. Good morning. Welcome to the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. I love that poem. That was some great poetry. Matter of fact, I don't know if you guys remember the peanut butter logs and the Abba Zabbas. The Abba Zabbas with the peanut butter inside. I don't know if you guys remember that. That might be a little bit
before your
time.
Nope,
okay,
nope.
I used to love
it all around.
But on a serious note, we got a super, super great guest that's coming on. I want to know if he's on the line. Mr. Tolliver, Eric Tolliver.
Yes, sir.
Let's see if we got Eric Tolliver.
I am.
Wait. Eric Tolliver, are you there?
Yes. Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay, welcome to the show, Eric Tolliver. I don't know who's somebody's talking in the background. Hold on.
This is Cousin B. I'm trying to do it because I'm trying to make sure I get the name of the number. And so I'm trying to make sure his number is the 202 area code.
Yes, it is. Eric, yes, ma'am. Okay, so hold on a second. Everybody say good morning to Eric Tolliver, Chef Eric Tolliver. Please say good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Eric.
Eric Tolliver.
How's everybody doing?
Great to have you.
How's everybody doing?
Oh, just fine.
Good morning, Chef Tolliver. Welcome to the show.
Now, Chef Tolliver,
maybe he might be a subject matter expert on that.
I'm a fiend for the sugar myself, so.
Okay. Now, Brother Eric, it's an honor and a pleasure to have you with us this morning because we eating healthy is so important. Eating good food is so important. But having a chef that knows how to cook the food where it is healthy is even more important. So without further ado, Chef Tolliver, first of all, tell us about your catering business. Tell us about what you do. Go right ahead. Take the floor. Take your time. Go ahead.
All right. I'm from Washington, D.C. originally. I live in Long Beach. My business is based in Long Beach. I went to the Art Institute of Atlanta. That's where I got my, you know, culinary experience, you know, schooling-wise. But I've been doing this about 18 years now. I just started my catering business about 2.5 years ago. And, everything just kind of been booming. And, I mean, I come from a family of, like, my grandfather was a gourmet chef in Georgia. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's in the blood. And, you know, I love pleasing people through food. You know, I feel like it's the universal language. You know what I mean? Like, somebody can be hungry and you don't even have to speak the same language or understand anything. But if you present them with some food or something like that, that's a peace offering. You know what I mean? It's just the first step, in my opinion, to anything. You know, we all connected through food. That's never going to
happen. Now, Eric, I don't mean to interrupt you, but tell us what your catering company, what do you guys cook? What do you make?
I do everything, literally. I cater to every individual separately. So, because my goal is to give you the experience that you want or that you may possibly not know how to, you know, accomplish. You know what I mean? So,
right. Eric, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Now, what if I want some hot water cornbread, some fried chicken, some greens, and some dressing? Tell me about it. Can you hook it up, brother?
Of course. I mean, that's basic. I mean, that's basic food knowledge right there. Fried chicken.
Now, what if I want a duck and some sautéed asparagus? Tell us about some of your meals that you prepare for your guests, for your people.
Right now, I mean, I deal with a lot of private, high-end clients right now, just because of COVID and everything like that. Everybody's don't want to do these big events or whatever. So, and restaurants are just starting to open back up. And because I have the experience, I've worked under Michelin chefs before, so. You know what I mean? Like, I can give you that 5-star, that Michelin, experience if that's what you want. You want duck? I can make you duck. You know what I mean? And it's just, like I said, I mean, whatever it is, I sit down and we talk about what you like, what you don't like, your allergies, and things, that you might want to try. And maybe we can do a sample platter or something like that. Or, like I said, I'm very personal with it. It's a one-on-one. I always have a consultation with all my clients.
Okay, now,
like you said,
Right. Go ahead, Eric. We're listening.
Oh, no, I was just saying. So, I might get a guest that wants, French cuisine or something like that. I might get somebody who wants, more baked goods and tarts and things of that nature. You know what I mean? So you just got to get.
Now, do you do any dishes that involve caviar and different types of seafoods and things like that?
Not so much caviar, just because caviar is very expensive. And a lot of, a lot of the average person isn't eating caviar. But
right.
In the slight case that I do come across a client that does want something like that, yes, it can be done. I would have to order it through a representative or something like that.
Hey. Okay. So that one's not working. So, Dave, tell us, give us some examples of some of your clients and how, like, if somebody wants, you do private cooking where you go in the home and you cook for them and you serve them and everything like that? Okay, so tell us about how does that work?
Basically, you would reach out to me through either my Instagram, my web domain, or, by word of mouth. And we were just kind of, like I said, the initial contact is just a setup, just kind of figure out what it is you're looking for, how many guests you're looking to serve, a date, and then, a possible mock menu. I would say, hey, give me an hour or two, and I would call you back with a menu. I would pick your brain and see what you like first. So.
Now, do you do weddings, bar mitzvahs, birthday parties, private events, all that kind of stuff? Do you do that?
I do.
Now,
when it comes to
go bigger, right
ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go right ahead. We're all ears.
When it comes to the larger event, that's something that needs to be planned a little further. In advance. Just, when you start to say, 50, 60 people, anything above that, because that's when I would have to bring in, my helpers and stuff like that. But
right.
Like I said, anything can be done. Because like I said, I have my seller's permit, I have my business license, like I'm a legit, catering company. So
I even have a food truck. Now, Eric, here's another question. Are you bonded?
What do you mean? Like with another company or something? Or?
No, like bonded, when you work with high-end clients, like I ran a executive protection business, and we got to be bonded because we're working with so much money and around people, that are rich and all that, and they want to know, are you bonded? That's not working. It's not working. No, no. Matter of fact, we got to, Steve, let us know this one. Excuse me. Not working.
No worries.
But this is working. I apologize. Okay, back to now. Being bonded is just like you know, just to make sure that you're insured, so if anything happens, you know, if anybody gets hurt on the job or...
Oh, yeah. That's, you have to do all that when you get your seller's permit and you get your business license and everything like that. When it comes to food, anyway. So you have to set up your company a certain way to protect myself and others. So yes.
Hey, Steve said don't use it.
How you
don't use it. Okay. Now, okay, that's good. That's good. So if somebody wants to get your service, and like, let me ask you a question. Tell me what type of starches you prepare, like rice, potatoes, mac and cheese.
Yeah, right.
Tell us how you prepare certain dishes for certain people who might be interested in. Like you know, you can make greens in several different ways. You can saute greens with olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
You can make greens with you know, different ways. So talk to us about some of your dishes and how you make them and what type of seasoning. Go right ahead.
Well, I mean, as far as like greens and stuff like that, I mean, that would just be, you know, you would take whatever. If it's vegetarian, I would just make you know, I would start off with like peppers, onions, garlic. You know what I mean? Saute that up a little bit. Maybe add a little bit of vegetable bouillon or something like that, just to give it, you know, a little bit more flavor. Because generally, I cook my greens, you know, the old-fashioned way with some hog mug or, you know what I mean, some bacon fat in there or something like that. But like I said, it depends on the client. You know, if they're really health conscious, then I can go and break it down. If you need, you know, a calorie intake, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, when you go to school, they teach you all these little, you know, tricks to figure different things out. But like I said, the only way you're going to truly get it is to have a consultation with somebody and see what they want. That's the difference in what I do versus everybody else. You know, everybody else might give you a generic. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Now, I was going to ask you, how do you prepare your eggplant? There's so many ways to do eggplant. How do you prepare yours?
I mean, I can do eggplant parmigiana. I can saute it up and hit it with some marinara sauce or something like that. And, I can grill it for you. It can be fried. It can be steamed. I mean, like I said, I mean, it just depends on what your diet is, you know, if you have any restrictions, or like I said, if you're, you know, really health conscious or not.
Now, let me ask you, if people want to get in touch with you or somebody wants to do a private event, like say, for instance, a husband and wife, and they just want to have a private moment where they want to retain your services as a chef, please give everybody your email, your website, how they can get in touch with you. Take your time and go right here. Take the floor here. Give us some information.
All right. Well, the quickest way to get in contact would be just to call me. And like I said, my phone number is 202-906-0035. Again, that's 202-906-0035. You could always reach me at Chef Eric Tolver at thejointcatering.com. And that's T-H-A catering.com.
Now, are you also on Instagram and Facebook?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, could you please give out your Instagram and your Facebook?
My Instagram is Chef_E_from_DC. Chef E from DC.
Okay.
And
what we want to do now in the essence of time, because we have some other topics going on, I want to go around really quick and get some question and answers real quick. So I'm just going to go around our panel and see if they have a question or a statement for you. So let's start with you, Cousin V. Cousin V, do you have a question or a statement for Chef Eric Tolver?
I live in a small town, and I was just wondering, in the city, do you have problems with race kind of activity? Because, like, in our town, it's two blacks do one thing.
I'm sorry, I cannot hear what she's saying. I apologize.
Hold on a second. Okay, start again. Go ahead, Cousin V.
I was wondering if you're, like, I live in a small town, smaller than the city of Los Angeles and Long Beach. Do you ever have problems with other people in the same field that's of the same race? Because, you know, we always say support black business, but a lot of blacks think that it can't be more than one black business in some areas.
Well, I mean, there's always going to be competition in food because it's always evolving. It's always changing. There's always a new way to do something. There's always a – just think of it like a chocolate chip cookie. The first chocolate chip cookie, everybody was mind blown. Oh, my God, what is this? But then somebody said, hey, all right, well, I'm going to take that recipe and I'm going to add pecans to it. Now you got chocolate chip cookies and pecans. Wow. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's always revolving and changing. So, you know, it's always something new out there and always something new to learn. So I don't look at it as competition because, like I said, myself, I'm always looking to reach back and pull somebody with me. You know what I mean? It's not like I said, I want to feed the whole world one plate at a time. That's my motto. You know what I mean? I don't need to compete with anybody because at the end of the day, everyone has to eat. I can't, you know what I mean? I can't do it alone. You know, I just might do it a little better than, you know, than some. But, you know, that's the energy I give. It's just like, hey, well, look, cool. We can vibe together. We can collab. We can do, you know, let's go feed the homeless over here. Boom, let's do this together. You know what I mean? So I don't really, you know, look at the negative side of the stuff like that, especially, you know, in this day and age where, you know, nothing is promised tomorrow. You know what I mean? So it's just.
Well, speaking of feeding the homeless, let me jump in here, Eric. Speaking of feeding the homeless, man, just on another note, have you done events where you have fed the homeless? I mean, like after you make a certain amount of money, do you give back to the community?
Well, yes. When COVID first hit and everybody was, you know, the first responders and everything like that was, you know, being held at the hospitals and the homes and stuff like that, yeah, I was going out and, you know, making meals weekly. But then, like I said,
wow,
you know, everything shut down, and then that kind of put a halt on what I was able to do because, I mean, I'm a family man, so I have, you know, young children. I can't really, you know, expose myself to, you know, going to a hospital when everybody in there has COVID. You know what I mean? So
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, within reason.
No, I got you, Eric. Now, I don't mean to interrupt you so abruptly, but in the essence of the time, Talana Jones, do you have a question or a statement for Brother Chef Eric Silver?
I just want to say thank you for blessing us with the honor of talking about food. I'm a foodie myself. My sister is a chef. So I just want to ask, I'm a family mommy too. I'm a mama bear at heart. I want to know how to, because my kids are now a lot older and they're looking to incorporate different veggies into our diet now. Well, we call it a food modification, not so much diet. So our food modification is we're trying to learn how to saute and or incorporate more veggies into our diet. So, like, is it okay to add veggies to or rice or, I think that would be my only question.
You're saying is it okay to add veggies to what was the last part of it?
Well, for instance, like a cheesy rice or, I even like grits and veggies to go together or, like combining, for instance, I can do like a saute of like a wonton noodle or a glass noodle and then add different types of vegetables to it to incorporate it, like you say, to give more flavor. I like flavor too. So I'm just trying to figure out how to incorporate more veggies or what are the best veggies for us to eat now.
Oh, okay. Well, like if you're doing like noodles and stuff like that, like the rice noodles, I really like glass noodles and stuff too. The easiest way and the most efficient way is to blanch them, whatever it is, whether it be snap peas or, you know, you can trim down some asparagus or broccolini or you get crazy and do whatever, you know, whatever veggie it is, just blanch it first. And basically blanching is, you know, get a pot of boiling water. But in my case, I don't use water. I use stock. because, like I said, I have little kids, and they're like, oh, my God, I don't want veggies. They taste nasty, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, the stock is what, yes. So it can be whatever stock you want. Generally, if you're going, you know, say it's going with a chicken dish or something like that, I would just put a little chicken stock in it, and then that would bring out the flavor in it. And then, you know, they're still, you know, crunchy and crispy, so the texture's there. And you know what I mean? And then incorporate the veggies at the very end. After you blanch them, you set them to the side and let them, you know, cool. And you, you toss them in at the end, and then you can toss everything together. And then that way it blends together with everything. You still have the crispiness from the veggies. You know what I mean? That snap, you know what I mean, when you bite it. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Thank you for sharing.
Okay. Thank you so much. At this time, I want to go over to Professor Reams. Professor Reams, do you have a question or a statement for Chef Eric Tover?
I have a very quick question. Can you repeat your phone number? And my real question is, do you have a favorite dish that you really like to make, which is your signature dish?
You know, I get – first of all, my phone number is 202-06-0035.
So 202-806-0035?
No, 906.
Oh, 9. Okay. Yeah, that's where it fell off. Okay. Thank you. Yes. Got it.
And as far as a favorite dish, I get asked that a lot. just because I love food so much. Like today could be, you know, Florence chicken dish or something like that. Tomorrow could be, you know, a Delmonico steak. You know what I mean? It just depends on my mood. At the end of the day, I would say I love making a steak on the grill, you know, nothing like an open fire, open flame, you know what I mean, and just vibing out, having some music going, you know what I mean, and just getting my zone.
Nice.
Or you know, I like real intricate, like, I like bacon, but the thing about bacon is bacon takes a lot of time, and it's science, and it's like everything has to be perfect. You know what I mean? So that's how it is with that. But for the most part, I mean, I would say I'm a steak man. Like, I love, you know what I mean, without a doubt, I love making steaks.
Yes.
So.
Thank you so much for that. Thank you.
Not a problem.
Brother Clarence M. Allen, you have a question or a statement for Chef Eric Tover?
Yeah, a little bit of both. Once again, welcome to the show, Chef E.
Thank you.
The thing that I loved about what you said was the collaboration and working together, and it's room for everybody. I don't care how small the town is or how large the city.
Exactly.
So I appreciate you saying that, because we as a people, we have to stop being against one another, thinking who's the best and all this and that,
and
separating this from that. You know, it's room for everybody. This American system has us all where we think that, well, you cannot come in. But when God created us, he said it's room for all of us.
Everybody.
You know, and I just appreciate, you know, your response and to all the answers, your expertise to all the questions. And I noticed you said earlier you're in Long Beach. Is there like a physical location where somebody can just walk up or walk in and say, hey, I like this, I like to have that, or you just on call?
Basically, yes, I am on call every day pretty much, except for Sundays. Like I said, it takes nothing but just a phone call. Or, you know, if you want lunch, hypothetically today, if you guys wanted lunch, you say, hey, Eric, we are in L.A., downtown L.A. Is it possible for us to get, you know, a couple menu items by, you know, 1 p.m.? And I would either say, well, I have another delivery, or I have this, or yes. You know what I mean? So it's, like I said, no client is too small or too big. It's just all about getting in contact and setting it up.
All right. Thank you so very much. Okay, can you hear me pretty good? Can you guys hear me on the show? Okay.
Yes, I can hear you. Yes.
Okay. I don't know what the feedback is, but somebody got some extracurricular stuff going on. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. We talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights, and we have a right to eat healthy, we have a right to eat good food, and we have a right to live, to eat to live and not live to eat. So this morning we have Chef Eric Tover from Washington, D.C., who now resides in Long Beach, California. We are honored to have you on our show today. And did I miss anybody? Let's see. Melanie Aubrey, are you with us this morning? Is Melanie with us?
Melanie won't be on at all, but Miss Linda is on the line.
Miss Linda, do you have a question or a statement for Chef Eric Tover? Go right ahead, Linda.
Yeah, I have a statement. I don't know if this is new to you, but I just made some vegetable soup, and I put in not only stock, but I put in a carton of soup, like a cream soup as well.
Oh, like dairy.
And so I don't know if
you've ever
done that.
So you made like a cream of something?
Well, no, I first put in some vegetable stock, and then I put in an equal amount of vegetable cream soup.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've ever done that combination before.
I have not, no. I'm not a huge fan of dairy.
Okay.
I'm lactose intolerant. So, but that's just me, though. That's what I'm saying. I mean, so I have never tried that before.
Okay. Well, I have one other question. Since you cook for a living, who cooks at home?
I do a lot of it. I do a lot of the cooking, but I've also taught, you know, my kids, you know, little things, and you know, the missus, she'll stand in the kitchen and talk to me while we're doing, you know, while I'm cooking certain things or something like that. Like, she likes, you know, like spaghetti and lasagna and, you know, different type of pasta dishes that I put together. And, you know, and then she'll be like, oh, well, show me how to make this. And, you know, she might make that for a week or whatever until she gets burnt out on it. You know what I mean? And then she'll be like, oh, well, show me how to make this. And then, you know what I mean? And then I'll show her how to make it. And then we just, you know, I try to make her swap out with me. But her career, what she's doing right now, she doesn't really have the time to always, you know, cook a big meal like that. So it's kind of, you know,
yeah.
I say 60-40 as far as, like, cooking in the house. Because she does. You know what I mean? She does cook. But it's more, like I said, it's more or less, you know, me for the most part.
Okay.
All right. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Vera, I apologize. Vera, go right ahead. Vera, take the floor. If you have a question or a statement Chef Eric Tover.
Oh, I just wanted to say thank you so much, Eric, for coming on today. And as Linda mentioned something, I also enjoy using bone broth to make, well, different things, not just soups, but it could be veggies or anything else. But I wanted to ask if you have any current events that will be in the future where there will be a public setting coming up in the future.
I'm actually working on trying to find like a permanent location to kind of put up the food truck. And then
I have a location. You can check with Eddie later on, like later on today. There is a location, and hopefully that would be the one for you.
Oh, sweet. Definitely. I'll definitely reach out for that then. Yeah, because, I mean, that's like with the food truck and everything, like everything is still changing when it comes to all these different food codes and, you know, all the safety protocols and everything. So that's kind of put a damper on everything.
Absolutely.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
I'm not sure if they will actually have it this summer, but they would have the food trucks in Inglewood, like every, I think it would begin actually
exactly
right before summer, but I'm not sure if they'll have it this year. But if not, hopefully you'll be at the other location that I'll mention to Eddie later.
Yes, yes. That's definitely, like I said, I'm always looking to network and reach out and branch out and, you know, plant a tree here. So, you know what I mean? It's like I said, we got to work together.
Well, first of all, I just want to thank you so much, Chef Eric Tolliver. Everybody on the show, let's give Chef Tolliver a big hand right now. Let's give him a big hand.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Now, Chef, I don't want you to leave the show, Chef, but, you know, hold on. We got some interesting topics we want to introduce you to. We want you to also be a part of it. Now we have a couple of topics, but I want to throw this in really quick. To everybody on the show, you know we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights because we all have rights. It's been all over the news. I told people this a year ago. Everybody's like, yeah, that's not going to happen. Oh, but it did happen, and they're going to start it right away. You're going to have a COVID ID card now. You will have to have a COVID ID card. People said, no, it's not going to happen. You're not going to have a COVID ID. It is going to be mandatory that you have a COVID ID card. If you don't have it, you cannot fly. If you don't have it, you can't get on a train. If you don't have it, you can't get on a bus. You will have to have your mute your phone out if you're not on the line. Please mute your phone out. Thank you so much. So we can hear the interview nice and clear. Thank you for muting out your phone. Thank you. Mute your phone out. Thank you so much. Okay, so back to the conversation. The COVID-19 cards are going to be they're being created as we speak. It will be on your phone, just like the little things you have on your phone. When you go to the airport, you just show them that. They'll scan it. And also, they will be sobriety checks. Like they have a DUI sobriety check, they're going to have a COVID-19 card sobriety check. If you don't have it, eventually, now I'll tell you, I told you this before. You weren't listening. Listen to me carefully. All the Dodger Stadium, the Staples Center, and all these other places, there are going to be places where if you don't have your card and you can't speak for where your card is, of course, you know, people are going to be making fake cards in downtown L.A. They're going to be making fake negative COVID-19 tests so you can, you know, try to get away with it for a while. But they're going to do it like they're doing the real ID. The real ID will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But if you don't have your COVID-19 card when they stop you, they'll be able to hold you against your will. They'll make it really nice. It won't be like, oh, you're going to jail. No, they'll say, we're going to take you over to the Dodger Stadium where we can do further assessment to find out if you really do have it or not. And trust me, they got technology because that's why they put Lucifer. Lucifer is inside of the COVID-19 vaccine. That's a little light that they can put on your body, and your body will glow to let them know if you have the vaccine or not. So you can cheat with your little cheating card. You can cheat with your negative test thing that you can get people to make for $25 or $30. But the reality is when they take you to these places where they hold you for a second in a nice way to see if you really have it or not, it's going to be the real answer, okay? That's going to be the real deal, Holyfield. So without further ado, let's move around and let's discuss this very important topic. Clarence and Malin, please take the floor and tell us, what do you think about this new COVID ID card that's going to be mandatory in the next several months?
Well, you know, Pastor Eddie, all this stuff been in the plannings and in the makings for such a long time, and, you know, we're just becoming accustomed to it because we're just hearing about it. You know, we look up the World Economic 300, you know, the 300 wealthiest corporations and people in the world where they have been coming together to put all these entities into place, you know, and you had mentioned downtown. I was thinking back in the day, you go down on Alvarado and get your fake ID made, you know. And so it's going to alter the way a lot of people lifestyle is conducted and travel, such as you say, and wanting to go for live entertainment or sporting events. So, and when you mention all that, Pastor Eddie, it when you look in the Bible and it talks about the mark of the beast in order to buy or sell, this is the coming of that. You know, this is just the beginning of being part of the status quo marked in the status quo in this system where they know wherever we are. You know, it's this 5G, the ultraviolet light from the Luciferous, and it's here now. So we will have to adjust and accustom just to do anything.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Clarence Mallon. Thank you so much. That is a wonderful statement that you just made, a prolific and profound statement. That's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. To all my listeners out there that's listening all over the United States, I want to thank everybody listening in Chicago, New York, Detroit, Atlanta, New Orleans, Arkansas, Texas, Colorado, Seattle, Washington, and if I left Crenshaw Boulevard, Moreno Valley, the Crenshaw District, Baldwin Hills, everywhere around the United States where you're listening, thank you. Montana, thank you so much. South Dakota, North Dakota, thank you. All the people listening abroad in Africa, in Egypt, in China, in Germany, in Russia, thank you guys for listening wherever you are in the world right now. This is the real deal, Holyfield. There's no smoking guns. Professor Reams, please take the floor on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Tell us what you think about the new COVID-19 requirement ID, enable to fly or get on a train or anything else. Go right ahead, Professor Reams.
Well, Pastor Jones, thank you so much. It really doesn't surprise me because we're looking at some major dynamics here. I would speculate that since we seem to be having this, every time we look up, it's spiking, then going down, and spiking and going down, that the question I always had is that had we stayed under lockdown and we had gotten it to doable levels, would we be here now as opposed to what's going on in Australia where they only have only three cases and some of the other places that have virtually no cases. So it's, I agree with Clarence, it's just one of those things where it's, well, it hasn't adjust, but it's one of those situations where my hope is going to be temporary because we can still turn this around as we all in social justice. If it seems like it's impeding civil rights and due process and all these other things like that, we have the ability to reject it. But since this has been announced, I hope that there's going to be some pushback or some discussion before it's enacted, especially with the governor and also with the president. So since it's been just announced, it's a wait and see, but it doesn't surprise me. But it also bothers me since I have a son that's going to try to go and live in the dorms, and we don't know who's who and what's what and what they're doing. And that is just the unknown. And for myself, I'll be working with the same type of students, and it's going to be one of those situations where it would break my heart that I got one of my students sick or vice versa in light of doing the job. So this is a very big mixed bag with a lot of mixed emotions on what it is. But my thing is that we can always stop the train by pulling together and saying, wait a minute, let's have a discussion on this before this goes through. So those are my thoughts. Thank you so much. I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Thank you so very much. Can you guys hear me okay? Am I coming in clear?
Yes.
Okay, good. Without further ado, I want to go to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, what do you think about now you got to have a COVID-19 to get an ID to get on the plane or to get on the bus or whatever? Go right ahead, Vera, take the floor. Give us your take.
Well, Eddie, that's really deep for me. And I totally agree with Professor Reams and Clarence because it didn't just pop up, and I'm thinking this was prepared for quite some time. But what we have to remember and what we have to think of, what about the people that are highly allergic to whatever is inside of this particular vaccine? And since I am one that's very allergic to many things, we all have to be careful, and it may cost us our life if we have to take this vaccine. So that's just my thought, Eddie.
Wow. Thank you so much, Vera. Talana Jones, excuse the noise in the background. Talana, take the floor. How do you feel about the COVID-19 ID card that's going to be mandatory And I guess they'll eventually have a temporary COVID-19 card. And if you have if you don't have a shot, they'll have a card for that too, until you get the shot. But meanwhile, take the floor, Talana. Give us your take. Talana, are you there? Okay, we're gonna wait on Talana to come back. And meanwhile, Cousin V, take the floor. Give us your take on it. What do you think about the COVID-19 card, Cousin V?
Well, I haven't took mine yet either, but I work on the COVID floor, and so does my coworkers. But they're not putting out that people are having side effects to this thing and how some people's health are being affected by it, because some of our coworkers that have had it are still at home like 3 and 4 weeks later after taking the vaccine. So I'm still waiting on deciding whether I would take it or not. If I did, I would not want the two doses. I would prefer a one-dose vaccine because it just seems to be coming from those that have taken most of the two doses.
Wow. Now, how do you feel about mandatorily having to have a COVID-19 ID to get on a plane or a train or a bus?
Well, I think they should actually test people for antibodies and everything. They're pushing this so much that sometimes the whole 30 minutes of news is only about the COVID vaccine and who's taking it and where you can get it done. But I think they should really have cards and like Vera, for people like Vera, some people just can't take everything that comes on the market. We're not all made the same. We are created the same, but our genetics are not the same. I mean, we have special needs kids and things like that. So what are they going to do about those kids? And I know they're starting on the children now also, but sometimes a lot of people have been against vaccines, even just the normal vaccines that the kids have to take in school. So I think they should really be individualizing people.
Right. Now, with that being said, I want to thank everybody for your opinion. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. We're going to switch reels now because there's something else that I've done some extreme studying over. Now, please mute your phone out. If I hear clicking and stuff, please mute your phone out. We want all the listeners that are listening to the show, if you're not talking right now, just hit mute on your phone so we can't hear you. Thank you so very much. Listen, I want you to know this. The vaccines are not FDA approved. The vaccines are not FDA approved. Now, Clarence and Allen, I want you to look up an EUA. An EUA is an emergency thing that the FDA uses when the FDA doesn't want to pass it because they're not sure and they don't want to pass it and be sued. So they use the EUA. Clarence, please look up what is it? Define an EUA from the federal, from the FDA government. Look that up. While you're looking that up, let's talk about this. The vaccines do not have an FDA approval. They have an EUA, which stands for emergency something, something all over the world. So that means that what you're putting inside of you has not been approved by the FDA. That is our next topic of discussion. Without further ado, let's go to Professor Reams. What do you think about that, Professor Reams? The FDA has not approved the vaccines, but the FDA gave it an EUA because it's an emergency situation. Go right ahead, take the floor, Professor Reams.
Yes, what's happened, and then Clarence will provide further detail on that, is that the government does have that option of putting in for if there's an emergency public health situation that crops up and they need it immediately, that it is a provision in the FDA that they will be able to approve a drug. Now, the EUA has its own criteria that must be met before the FDA can even include it as EUA. So, and all it's doing is going through clinical trials with the information that it has at the moment in order to make the final decision. But as we've mentioned before, the way that the vaccine was rushed through, and because normally when it's FDA approved, it takes about 2, maybe 2-3 years before the clinical trials can be approved, before something comes to market, sometimes between 2 to 3 to 5 years. If that's the case, then the rushing through is that they're still testing out the vaccine, and the longer it takes for someone to get, like, you're not going to get it now, but maybe a year from now, it may be better because they're constantly testing it for clinical trials and observing the reaction that people are having with the vaccine itself. So this is in, and it is a provision that the FDA has. Whether this should be looked at or not, that's another issue. But let's put it in this case. In an emergency situation and there's a fire going around, you're not going to worry about the approval of the fire extinguisher or the water hose. You're just going to get what you can and then use it and then do whatever you can do. That's where we are at this point. So, Pastor Jones, I yield back to you, and then you can have Clarence to knock it out of the ballpark.
All right. Thank you so much, Professor Reams. Thank you. We really appreciate that. We have a real professor on our show. Professor Reams is a real professor, and he works at a university, and he teaches social justice, music, and a whole bunch of other good stuff. Without further ado, Clarence M. Allen, take the floor. Define EUA, which is done by the FDA. Our government is not FDA approved on the COVID-19 vaccines. Go right ahead, Clarence, take the floor. Educate.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Loud and clear, my brother, loud and clear. Go right ahead, take the floor.
Okay, the EUA is the Emergency Use Authorization, is a mechanism to facilitate the availability and use of medical countermeasures, including vaccines during public health emergencies such as this pandemic, COVID-19. The EUA in the United States is authorized and granted to the Food and Drug Administration under the section of the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act and it goes farther into who is amended by. But the FDA is authorized to use this, you know. So it sounds like they can just throw the Constitution out and force somebody to take a certain substance or force someone to act in a certain way.
Brother Clarence, forgive me for interrupting you. Some people didn't hear. Define EUA, which is done by the FDA. Define it one more time, please. Please listen, you guys, clearly so you can understand that this vaccine is not FDA approved. It's EUA. Define EUA one more time, Brother Clarence. Thank you.
Yes, let me get back to it. The EUA is the Emergency Use Authorization, is a mechanism to facilitate the availability and use of medical countermeasures, including vaccines during public health emergencies such as the current COVID-19 pandemic. So, you know, we're in a pandemic. We have the COVID-19, and we have these emergencies. So they are authorized to create laws where we have to take a certain substance and act in a certain way in order to just to live, to go about, to do our everyday daily means.
Now, with that being said, Brother Clarence, and I want to thank you for educating us. To all the listeners out there, you're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. This is a civil rights issue. This is a constitutional right issue. This is a human right issue, because guess what? They have rushed this vaccine down our throats. And that's why I'm not taking it. Now, you can take it if you want to, and I'm not knocking anybody who does take it. I will not be taking this vaccine for a very long time. I'm not worried about the COVID-19 ID right now, but I tell you one thing. I'm taking my echinacea, my B-complex, my 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C, and vitamin E and A and D3, and my elderberry and everything else every single day, because I want to make sure that I'm in tune with my health and not the vaccine. So now that it's EUA emergency authorized by the government, now here's the question. why is it emergency rushed on the whole wide world? And that means that they don't know what it can do to you. They're not telling you that 750 women have died within weeks of taking the vaccine. They're not telling you that. They're not telling you all the people who have had some very terrible side effects from taking the vaccine. The shaking, the rash on the arm, the painfulness that they're going through, and all the other things. They're not telling you about that. With that being said, let's go to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, how do you feel about the EUA instead of the FDA? It's still the FDA approving the EUA. Go right ahead, Vera. Take the floor.
Wow, I'm just learning a whole lot here today, and I just want to thank you both, Clarence and Professor Reams and Eddie, for actually bringing this information to us. But as I know, or as I have heard, that the vaccine is 76% effective. And we all know that even if you do take the vaccine, and I'm not knocking those that have already taken it, because I do have many people that have, and or those that will take it. But I enjoy what you said, Eddie, by keeping what you're taking to keep your immune system healthy. So that's where it's at. And for those that will get it, blessings and be safe.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Vera, so much for sharing that with us. Now, listen, you guys. Listen, people out there on the show that's listening to the show, you can take the vaccine and still get COVID-19. They'll tell you that there's no guarantee that you will not get it because there's so many different strands of the COVID-19 coming from so many different countries. And this is the reason why I don't understand why they're still allowing our borders to be open where people can come from anywhere and bring a different strand of COVID-19 to America. That's what's been happening lately. That's why the numbers keep going up and down and up and down. They can't get a hold on it because they're not doing what they need to do to kill this virus. We need a vaccine that will kill the virus. We don't have that. They don't have that. That's why they had an emergency authorization so that they can get it out to everybody, as many people as they can. And the way they make it sound like the vaccine is the best thing that ever happened. It is not. Because they don't know exactly what it can do to you, and no person can wear the same size shoe, so no person can keep getting the same vaccine, and it does different things to different people. It depends on your body DNA makeup and your biological DNA makeup. That's how we find out. Without further ado, I want to go to Cousin V. Cousin V, how do you feel about the EUA instead of the FDA passing this emergency authorization? Go right ahead, Cousin V.
It's just my same, everyone said just about the same thing that I'm thinking, that our genetic makeups are different. They're not telling us everything, which I know because, like I say, I work the medical field, and just some of my coworkers are telling us some of the side effects that they're seeing people have from these vaccines, and they do. And research, all the years I've been nursing, like 30-some years, we've never, ever had research that hadn't been done on a vaccine without it being at least 5 to 10 years with clinical trials. And I also had told y'all that my aunt ended up in the hospital right after she took her first vaccine. She could not breathe.
I have a question for you. And when they give people these vaccines, can you elaborate on the waiting time that they make people take after they take the vaccine?
I really don't get into the vaccine because on the news there, you know, when Biden got in office, they were saying he wants to give so many millions of these vaccines, and I just have never agreed with it, so I try not to even listen to it because, like I said, I work COVID unit, and none of my coworkers that have worked on the COVID unit with me have gotten it from working because we do use the protective equipment that we need. So I really don't get to it. I think it's like 21 days in between the two vaccines.
Thing, but can you can you tell us some of the side effects that they're not telling us about on the news that some of the patients are having? Can you share that information with us?
I just know the ones that my coworkers have said, like in addition to what you said, the shaking, the Parkinson-like symptoms, people not being able to breathe and those kind of things. And then some people say 2 or 3 days after they take it, they still have some side effects. But I do have one coworker. She's just at home. I don't actually know what her side effects is, but she's been at home almost a month to this week after taking her vaccine.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, now this is what I want to say. This is what I really want to say. I hope you guys can hear me. Cousin V, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. And did we have a call in a 951-541 area code? If they wanted to introduce themselves.
Call in 951 area code. Are you there? Welcome to the show. Okay, maybe they just want to listen. That's okay.
Okay.
Okay, you're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justin Jones Radio Talk Show. We're telling everybody that the vaccine is not FDA approved. It's EUA. EUA stands for Emergency Authorization, which is given by the FDA. But that means that they still haven't ran every clinical trial and every test that they can to find out what all the side effects are. They're just giving you the vaccine. And trust me, they're spending millions of dollars on publicity to tell you it's okay to take the vaccine. They got commercials. They got doctors. They got lawyers. They got everybody saying, take the vaccine. It's okay. That is not the whole truth or nothing but the truth, so help them, God. I want to give you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me, God, because it's so important that you know that whatever you're putting in your body, you need to know what's in it, what it can do, and what the side effects are. That way it gives you an option on whether you want that in your human anatomy, your biological DNA makeup, or not. So without further ado, I'm going to go to Linda. Linda, quickly, Linda. Tell me, Linda, how do you feel, Linda? What do you think about the EUA instead of the FDA, the emergency authorization of this vaccine?
I think it's just one more example of the government trying to control us in every way. They've done it with technology. I refuse to have all of these electronic devices because they're tracking you already through that. But I agree with what Clarence said. And if this is the mark of the beast, and I believe it might be, it's the Bible says, you won't be able to buy or sell. That means you won't be able to eat. So what are you going to do? Because I'm not going to take it. And I don't know how long it'll be, you know, before.
I'm in total agreement with you, Linda.
That way.
Now I want to go to Chef Eric Tover. Chef Eric Tover, are you still with us?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I hope you're enjoying the show, Chef. Are you enjoying the show?
Definitely.
Now, the EUA is the emergency authorization, not the FDA, but the FDA does do the EUA. I want to get your opinion on that, Chef Eric. What do you think about that? I mean, go right ahead, brother.
Me personally, I'm 40 years old. I've never seen anything like this in my life. You know, we read about stuff, but, you know, who's to say that wasn't true or whatever. But anyway, to answer the question at hand, how do I feel about it? I did not know that it was the EU. I didn't know that. But I always was kind of against how fast they just put it out there and then expected everybody to take it. And like I said, my other half is a federal agent. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to become mandatory at some point. And we've had this conversation,
yes.
Like, what are you going to do? You know, I'm not for it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And,
yes.
You know, we just kind of at, you know, a middle ground right now. She's like, well, if I have to take it, then, you know, depending on what our situation is, you know what I mean? I'm either going to quit or, you know what I mean? Like, depending on like how, when they make, you know what I mean? Because it's not mandatory yet. So she was saying when it becomes mandatory, we'll revisit it and see where we're at with it. You know, because that could be, like you said, that could be 5 years from now. In 5 years, sure, I might be a little more comfortable with her taking it, but not me. I'm still not going to take it. You know what I mean? Because
right.
I just, you know what I mean? Like I just feel like they just rushed it out
there,
and the way it was actually killing African Americans versus anybody else, that made me nervous. You know what I mean? So,
hey, I understand. Now, Eric, I want to thank you so much, Eric, for sharing that opinion with us, because everybody's opinion is important. But on this show, there's no smoking guns. It's the real deal, Holyfield. We tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. We're talking about the FDA approval of the vaccine. Is not an FDA approval. It's an EUA. It's an emergency authorization to rush this vaccine out there. That goes for Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, and whatever the other one is. You can look it up and read it for yourself. Find out right now for yourself. But this is what this show is all about your constitutional and your human rights. And I feel like Washington, D.C., along with our ex-president, had a lot to do with using the EUA with the FDA, because they know they could. And they just want you all in. Now, something's going to happen. Don't be surprised in 2 years from now when you see a commercial and the lawyer's going to say, hi, did you take the COVID-19 vaccine 2 years ago? Well, if you're growing another foot or an extra ear or another eyeball on your body, call 999-9999, and we will sue and get you the money that you need for taking that COVID-19 and growing another foot or another eyeball or extra hair in places where you never had hair before. Now, that's just kind of like a joke to you of what we're going to have to deal with, and I believe it's going to happen sooner than later. So without further ado, we're going to close out that topic, because in the essence of time, we're going to start going into our regular segment. Don't forget, we have Health and Wellness with Vera Jones. We have a sports report where we're going to find out what's going on with the Sweet 16 and March Madness by Cousin V. Professor Reams will give us the commentary. Clarence M. Allen will give us our definitely special Regulate the Manual on the show. We will have Mental Health and You with Dr. Aretha Adams Jones coming up real soon, because mental health should not be taboo. It's very important that we talk about mental health. And also from Tulana, we will get words of wisdom from Tulana today. So without further ado, we're going to go into our next topic, which is kind of sensitive. And meanwhile, I want to do a public announcement. I want to shout out my old high school, Susan Miller Dorsey High School. I want to shout out Brother Kevin, who's doing a special project with Dorsey High School. Next week, when I get the information of everything that he wants to say about what he's doing with the Dorsey High School baseball team, we want to make sure we always support the Dorsey High School baseball team. For you that don't know, I'm in Dorsey's Hall of Fame for my civil rights work, and from what Kevin is working on, he wants to get somebody into the Susan Miller Dorsey High School Hall of Fame, and also recognize someone who I'll have more information next week, but this is just the start of what I'm going to announce next week. Now, without further ado, our next topic is very sensitive. I love everybody. I don't care who you are. But legal is legal and illegal is illegal. And here's our next topic. Cousin V, read our topic about the invasion on America. Could you read that subject matter and that topic, please? It's our first topic.
Is there an invasion at the border, and what's being done about it?
Could you read that one more time?
Is there an invasion at the border, and what's being done about it?
Okay, so that takes us into our next topic. If you've been watching the news at all, and if you've been looking at anything on the news, you can see that people are coming from Puerto Rico. They're coming from everywhere across the border. They're walking across the border. They're running across the border. They're trotting across the border, and nothing's being done about it. A lot of people are upset with President Biden right now. Even President number 45 says he's going to go to the border and see what's going on himself. And so without further ado, there's an invasion taking place in America. And if you haven't noticed it, you better pay close attention, because nothing is being done by our government to stop the invasion. I want to get your personal opinions. So we're going to start off with our professor, Professor Reams. Take the floor. tell us about the invasion on America and the premeditated conspiracy to do just what's being done.
Well, what's happened is it's very interesting that up until the time of the presidential election, it was already touted that the border was already secure, that number 45 had made us safe, and that the people were there, and that he had put in a program called the Stay in Mexico program that was there. Now, each year from Honduras to Venezuela to Nicaragua, all of these are asylum seekers that are trying to come to the country because of the problems with their drugs, the drug cartels, as well as a hurricane that just devastated South America. So the idea of the program was to have the many of the migrants seeking asylum to go some to the other countries that were there. But the biggest problem was that the U.S. had pulled out on all of its funding to these countries to help curb their internal crimes and the gangs that were there that was causing people to leave and come to the border. Now, let's just suppose what happened. We had these folks come in, and then they've been piling up since that time. So 70,000 were at the border, and then another 30,000 came have come up to the border. Each has been seeking asylum, and they've been in the courts trying to get their day, but the number 45 administration was denying them. And they had promised these folks that they were going to get work in Mexico, but the Mexican government is not providing them with jobs because they don't acknowledge the Stay in Mexico program because they're not giving them IDs. So when it when the election happened and President Biden was installed, then there was a focus on, well, okay, how can we address this issue since it had not been actually addressed in the other administration? Now you have the Republicans who are trying to show that they care when, in fact, these were the same ones that were taking the children and separating from their parents, putting them into cages, and all of the other ilk that was going on. Mind you, the idea of the invasion is nothing new. This has been happening since the 1800s because if it wasn't from Europe, it was coming from South America, it was coming from the Caribbean. So every time that there's a political issue that goes on, the fear of an invasion is always used. Now, as far as what's happening, the same Border Patrol folks are still there. The same number of folks are still there. And what happened between before the election and now that made all the difference? So one thing that you want to be careful of is getting involved in the political posturing and also the Ted Cruz's and the Lindsey Graham's trying to now focus or do the squirrel thing of focusing on the other problem. That's not there. And let's not forget that a lot of the influx was not around the border, but also from people coming from Europe into Florida. That was allowed in by that governor in order to stop restrictions that we should have had in the first place. So President Biden says, no, did not tell you that the borders are open, that you should not come because the fact of COVID, and that the law is the law, and if you cross, it will be illegal, and that he will be enforcing the law. But those that are there that have children that are separated, we're not going to turn away a 10-year-old because of that. And that's being looked upon as, well, you're allowing this person, allowing that person in. But the other part of it that people don't talk about is folks are coming in because they're also being hired, and the folks who are hiring them are not being punished for hiring in the immigrants that they want to work for them because they want to pay cheap labor. So it's a very it's been simplified as an invasion, but it's nothing new, as Clarence will say, that the country has done, because when it doesn't like the idea that other people are coming in, which will vote Democratic when they come in, then that's when they say, oh, it's an invasion, it's this and all the other. Yeah, there might be a few that are getting in, but the real thing is that it's not at the border when they come in. They're actually coming in through the shipping lanes, like San Pedro and Canada. So those were the areas where number 45 stopped the Navy SEALs and all the coastal patrols from making sure that those immigrants and or illegal folks do not cross over from the shipping lanes. But the border has always been a symbol of, well, they're coming through, a few here, a few there, and that it's a problem, when in fact it's not only that, but also in Florida and also from Europe, from up in Canada. So that's where we are with that. It's very complicated because this also goes back to the war on drugs for Nicaragua, Honduras, Venezuela, and Guatemala, and the problems that this country has had in its own interest, usurping the needs of the people for those countries. Number 45 cut the funding of those. It was also cut a years back under Obama, and now we're unfortunately reaping the benefit of our policies that were very short-sighted for our own personal greed. So this, they try to simplify it. It's not a very simple problem. Also, just like how people are with their health conditions, each country has a unique reason for what it's doing that we have actually not abide by the rules or treaties for our own purposes. So that's
wow.
It in a nutshell. Yeah. It's
wow.
A very heavy thing, yes.
Now, thank you so much. Let's give a big round of applause to Professor Reams for giving us an educational tool that we can use to understand. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much, Professor Reams. Oh, my gosh.
Don't be fooled by the grift again. Yeah.
Okay. Now what you just heard was deeper than the ocean, higher than the mountain, and swifter than the rivers. Please pay attention to the invasion is taking place on America right now as we speak, and the government is more than aware of it. They know exactly what's going on, and they're not doing anything about it. In the essence of the time, we will go to our other co-hosts and producers and everybody else, but we're going to go in. It's time for the sports report. For all you sports enthusiasts who love sports, it's time to go with Cousin V and the sports report. Let's find out what's going on with our Lakers, our Clippers, and our Texas teams and all our other teams. Without further ado, Cousin V, please take the floor. Give us the sports report.
Well, this week the sports report is all about March Madness and the NCAA. And that is like the most fun part of the year besides the NFL when we have the championship for the NFL. But I'm going to start out with the ladies. They are in the Elite Eight, and they will play tonight. It will be Baylor, which I was cheering Baylor on this weekend. So the Baylor ladies and the Baylor men are both advancing. They are both in the Elite Eight. So it will be Baylor versus UConn tonight at 7 p.m. and Indiana versus Arizona, which is where my son lives and Clarence will live in Arizona. So they will be playing also tonight. And then on Tuesday, the ladies will play. It will be Texas versus South Carolina and Louisville versus Stanford. And their Final Four will be held this Friday, April the 2nd at 6 p.m., and all of these games can be seen on ESPN. And then for our men, because everybody's always into the men, we went from the Sweet 16, which was played this past weekend, to the Elite Eight. So the Sweet 16, we had Gonzaga advances. They're in the Elite Eight. University of South California, USC, also UCLA, University of California, LA. So you have two LA teams also in the Elite Eight, and then they also have Michigan. So tonight it will be USC versus Gonzaga, which Gonzaga is still undefeated. And then it will be UCLA and Michigan tonight. And that has been, Michigan has been off the chain also, as the kids say. We also have tonight, we have Baylor versus Arkansas and then Oregon State. And we have two Texas teams also, and that's Baylor and Houston, University of Houston right there, about 2 hours down the street from me, and they will be playing Oregon State. We are also on the road to the Masters. They had the Putacana Championship this weekend. It was played in the Corrales Golf Club, and the purse was $3 million. Joel Damon and Sam Ryder, both from the U.S. Joel won first place, and Sam Ryder tied second with Rafael from Puerto Rico, which is also part of the U.S. And then they also had a tie for fourth place, McDowell and Glidzik from Northern Ireland and Canada. This next week, it will be the Valero Texas Open, which will be played in San Antonio, where the NCAA Women's Championship is also being played. That purse will be $7,700,000. You can watch it on NBC and the Golf Channel, but that will be the Valero Texas Open in San Antonio, April 1st through 4th. And then, of course, the Masters, April the 8th through the 11th at the Augusta National Golf Course. Watch it on CBS and ESPN, with CBS now is part of Paramount, the new app that they have where you can watch everything on it, especially sports. That purse will be $11,500,000. And I just want to say, send a prayer out for East Texas, just 30 minutes down the road from me. They did have three tornadoes touch down. I mean, it was just something. We had the news on from about 6 o'clock almost to 10 o'clock news that night, because that's how bad the storms were. So thank you all. This is my sports report, and have a blessed week.
Man, all right, let's give a big hand for
Thank you.
And now, without further ado, we're going right into health and wellness with Vera Jones. Vera Jones, take the floor and give us health and wellness.
Thank you, Eddie, and thank you, everyone, to listening to Health and Wellness. So, spring has sprung, and seasonal allergies and hay fever time is here right now. So, as we know, our immune system reacts to change of the season. So we begin to have allergic response to the indoors and the outdoors, even from grass. And sometimes some may get a rash, hives, dry skin that's shedding from the winter. And you never know what's blowing or what's being sprayed in the air. And some of those symptoms may be dry skin, dry nose, it's pilling, runny nose, itchy eyes, watery eyes, red and puffy eyes, sneezing, inflammation with your throat, sinus problems, chest pain, and the worst can be anaphylactic shock. So if you have that, like me, you need to always carry your EpiPen. And even if you have trouble breathing, sometimes you can have a lot of dust mites in your home from shed hair from your pet, or just think about it. Ask yourself this question. What is on the bottom of your shoes? What are you bringing in? Now, I want to speak about a couple of things that we can do when we know that it's taking place. When there are pollens in the air, just think, there are plants that are shedding new seeds and flower debris. So we have to stay indoors sometimes, especially on windy days. And at that time, we should wear our sunglasses, our mask and covering. And then for the home remedies would be to turn on your air purifier and make sure that you change the filter. And if we can, stay away from the dairy at this time, because, of course, it makes mucus in our body. And what you can do a steam over a bowl of hot water with your favorite essential oil. Perhaps it may be orange or peppermint, eucalyptus, or tea tree. In addition to that, you can use your home diffuser to get some of the pollens out the air. But I love good old Vicks. Vicks Vapor Rub. That is one of my favorites. And if you're just coming in from outdoors and you have allergies, hop in a shower immediately. and make sure that you're always eating and exercising regularly to get the mucus out of your body. And last but not least would be loads of vitamin C. Now, what you can do, not only if you cannot take citrus foods, you can eat a couple of other foods that are rich in vitamin C, like broccoli, Brussels sprouts, red and green peppers, cabbage, spinach, strawberries. And my favorite, my tree is blooming, my kumquats, yummy. And I love the orange and grapefruits, which I just finished. But eating the colors of the rainbow is one of the things that will help us keep our body and our immune system really clean during the allergy season and the hay fever season. And don't forget, make up your tea concoction with some turmeric, some ginger to stimulate your immune system. And if you have the bee pollen, the raw one, take that along with some green tea, elderberry, peppermint, chamomile. And don't forget, let's make sure that we take that intake of H2O. It's the way to go. Amen.
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 Wow, let's give a big hand for Vera with health and wellness.
Excellent job, Vera.
You guys did it all. Now, without further ado, we're going to go right over to Clarence M. Allen with Regulate the Manual. Clarence M. Allen, take the floor. And do we have Dr. Aretha in the studio with us?
Let me see.
Do we have Dr.?
I don't see her. Wait,
77 on her number. 37s.
Okay, good.
Okay, well, meanwhile, while we're waiting on that, just go ahead and get Clarence M. Allen. Please take the floor. Regulate the manual, Clarence.
Thank you once again, Pastor Eddie, for having me again. You know, we have two monumental historical events that's happening in America right now. One, the spearhead of one is the state of Georgia. Georgia governor has passed anti-voting laws in America, and believe there will be other states to follow. The legislation committee, they and the governor will say it's not racist. But it is. The other monumental historical event that began this morning is the Derek Chauvin murder trial of George Floyd. So let's be mindful of that. In that, you're going to also be reminded that race has nothing to do with it. But race has something to do with even our subject matter topics today that Pastor Eddie hinted on. But I will have to apologize again that this must have been a commercial broadcast. It seemed like we went off course. And back to my white racist brothers, from my own personal experiences, I know for a fact that all white men are not racist, and that goes for any other race. There are millions of white people, and it doesn't matter to them which ethnic group, what color, or what race you belong to. Today, the time has come to the stage where it will not matter if you are black, white, brown, yellow, or any other color you choose to go by. Worldwide, these are the people who have the character to always bring out the good fabrics of mankind. Look, it should not matter, but this is for each and every person. Why should it matter? Why does it matter? Why do colors and race make a difference? Will it matter to the white racist that maybe the only man that may be able to save your life is a black man? If so, then why should it matter when a black man is just passing through your so-called part of town? Why do we continue to have racial profiling, degradations, harassments, and much more here in these future years within the most modern cities all across America? Why? To my white racist brothers, why do you continue to teach your children to grow up hating blacks? These questions are not addressed to everyone who is white. These questions are only for the white racists, skinheads, Ku Klux Klan, white inferiors, and all the rest. Did you know that the scheme of things which have been put into places were created way back when some of your four or five fathers, you may have to add two or three more to it. Many of these very same schemes
are at work for you today. They are working within our societies every day. So kick back if you really do not have to, and you really do not have to do anything. These systems have picked up the traps, and they have been in work, been at work in our cities all across America. Now all you need to do is continue to let the times take their courses. So kick back, eat, drink, and be merry. Throughout the signs and the times, I believe that there are some certain instruments that have been put into place within the lives of all mankind and through the evolution of man. These instruments have continued to transform and evolve. I believe these things have worked their ways up to these points of our time. I believe that it may have started since Cain had slain Abel. All the instruments of racism have been around since the beginning. The instruments of racism were all dormant until their proper times were figured out and put into use. Here's a hand-raising question. Raise your hand if you like the fact of David defeating Goliath. Are there any white racists who did not like a taking to that? I believe that there are many hidden truths and stories that have been lost, buried, and burned. Racism has been practiced for far too long. The days of racism and races are over. The end is nearing for all the hatred, discriminations, and their prejudices, which comes as a part of their packages. Your illusion, American dreams, tricks along with all the other apples will soon become exposed for the whole world to see. Divide and conquer shall also come to cease. The drugs, weapons, lies, and the sellouts would all come to a halt. Almost everything that is done under the sun today is witnessed on camera, recorded, taped, heard, seen through some kind of media, and is duly noted. But I'm going to stop right there, because if you want to continue to read this, just go into racism. You can only find it inside of Regulate the Manual at regulatethemanual.com. You can contact me personally because this book is written, and you are in here. Thank you very much, Pastor Eddie, co-host, and to all our listeners. God bless you.
Bravo.
Thank you,
Clarence.
Let's give a big hand to Clarence and Allen. Oh, my God. That was so wonderful. Thank you.
The Regulate.
In the essence of the time. Thank you. Well done. In the essence of the time, we're going to go to Talana Jones. Talana Jones with words of wisdom. Talana Jones, please take the floor. Give us words of wisdom.
Thank you, Dad. Good morning again, everyone, and welcome to Words of Wisdom. I am sharing something that's near and dear to me because all week, last week, and shout out to my grandmother, Nana, she just made her birthday just passed. March 27th, so God bless you, Nana, and happy birthday. And as I was saying, all last week I was being greeted with butterflies everywhere, on the way to work, on the way home. So I started studying a lot more into what signification and the meaning of symbolism for butterflies. So I wanted to share with you guys. I hope you enjoy. Okay, so it says that when you see a butterfly, it's someone you love in heaven reminding you of them and giving you a reason to remember all the beautiful memories you shared with them. It says, so remember proudly all the good times. And I have one more to share. The symbolism of a butterfly is powerful transformation, metamorphosis in your life and personality, moving through different life cycles, renewal, rebirth, lightness of being, playfulness, elevation from earthly matters, and tuning into your emotional or spiritual side. Thank you.
All right, let's give a big hand for Words of Wisdom. All right, that was beautiful. Thank you. Very wonderful.
Let me get a pack of those butterflies.
Now, without further ado, do we have Dr. Aretha Adams-Jones in the studio?
No, she's not on, and Melanie's not on.
Okay, we're going to go right on past because it is time. It is time. Without further ado, Professor Reeves, take the floor and give us the commentary.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jones. And once again, as usual, the forum has been the real deal, Holyfield, and we've been able to talk. We've given our opinions, laugh, and also fellowship with each other and also to you, the listeners. So I, if normally what I do, I thank everyone for just being so brilliant, and my commentary is just the fine things that each one has said. Once again, I have a full page of stuff which could cover a whole wall, so I'll try to condense it within the time that I have. So thank you so much, Pastor Jones, always, always for having the show and every Monday starting our week off in the right way. Church is first, but then your program is next to keep us guided in the right direction. To Cousin V, thank you so much for everything and producing us and keeping us on track as well as keeping us dealing with March Madness and things that are going on. Clarence,
thank
the regular. You're Clarence, the regular. You know how we talk, and your brilliance just shines every single time, and I'm just a small cog in comparison to you as the prophet, Clarence Allen. And so to Vera, my God, I think of when I see aloe vera, I think of you and all the other rainbow fruits keeping us healthy. I share allergies as well, so this is very poignant because of the fact I'll be doing everything from putting my head into steam to also having Vicks, which is also my favorite go-to relaxant as well. Yay! Well done. Plus, we'll do some yoga, some tai chi, as well as some martial arts, as well as gymnastics. So, oh my goodness, Talana, the butterflies, I'm going to get back to you, but that is superb overall. It's just words of wisdom is just fantastic, and continue to provide us with your wisdom. To Melanie Aubrey, a wonderful shout out. To Dr. Reva, a wonderful shout out. And to Linda, I always get my hug with your poems. And the Sugar Junkies touch me because all I could think of was trying to avoid Tootsie Rolls, Tootsie Pops, Black Licorice, Red Licorice, and all these other things. But I'll get there at some point in time. I know I have something there, and I might give it to my son, maybe. So thank you for reminding me of my little secret pleasure as well. And to our wonderful, wonderful guest, Brother Eric Tolbert, my goodness, chef extraordinaire.
Yes.
Just your wonderful spirit, and the steaks is always my Achilles heel. So, you know, that's why I took your number down, my brother. And so I hope that we'll be doing business at some time soon. But otherwise, you have a wonderful, wonderful spirit. So thank you for being on the show with us. So with that in mind, you're quite welcome. So right now it's Monday, it's during the week, and of course, the regulator has shown the two major things that are going on of Derek Chauvin's trial. Now, my colleagues and I, because I'm also involved as a lawyer, will be monitoring this, so I'll be happy to give the blow-by-blow of things that have come up with, because I have friends who are prosecutors who are going to be monitoring this as well. Also with the work we're doing with Swing Left for Georgia, and then we'll be monitoring what actions we're going to take to kind of with Stacey Abrams to make sure that the voting debacle that they put us in is going to get challenged, and that we make sure to vote in the John Lewis bill of H.R. 1 that will curb all of this stuff, because if we do that, then gerrymandering is out the window, and that they won't be able to pass these pseudo Jim Crow laws that they're trying to do with some of the other states. But with that in mind, that's the evil that we have. Thank goodness that we're not with number 45. We are with the Biden administration and Harris administration, of which they have inherited a mess. And, you know, it's going to take, as the president has said, all of us to get together and work on this. Now, we do have the difference of opinion dealing with COVID and some of the other things, but at least we work well together. So what do we do now? This has been a wonderful show talking about symbols. We've talked about candy. We've talked about the idea of butterflies.
and then also food. And all of these things with the candy, we'll move that out of the way, the butterfly and the food, has been a wonderful way of showing love, of showing peace, and with food being a peace offering to answer the biggest question that Clarence Allen has mentioned, the regulator, about why does this matter? Why is there racism? What is stopping us from just doing the right thing? And in reading this, we are still at that crossroads. Each and every day, we're learning more about what we've done or what has been done with the prior administration. We're also learning about ourselves. And then COVID has provided us with a stop button where we paused our lives so that we could just look into ourselves. And once again, it's realized is that, as Cousin V mentioned, that even though we're trying, we say support black dollars, there is the issue of jealousy, of rivalry, of competition. It's also questioning why does all this matter, all this competition, when in fact that's not what the Father has asked us to do. So at the end of the day, whether we have made it or not, whether we have won, whether we have lost, and if we have lost loved ones, the biggest thing that first, because of course, Jesus provided and fed 5,000, that's showing the peace offering that it is important that we always, always find some way of finding through food and or through remembrance that people, that all we have are ourselves, and that by using these peace offerings, we might be able to connect to each other. Because at the end of the day, the one thing that has been said and that our wonderful guest has mentioned is that under God, there is room for everyone.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And that's
amen.
The commentary.
That's a rain.
That's a rain.
Let's give a big hand for Professor the commentary.
Thank you.
Guys, so much. Now, this is Pastor Eddie Jones. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. I'm going to go back to Eric Tover. Eric, are you still with us, Eric?
Yes, I am.
Eric, okay, without further ado, Eric, I need you to, one more time, give out your email address, your website, how people, and your phone number. They want to know how they can reach you. I'm getting phone calls and texts already. So go right ahead, take the floor, give us your closing remarks, and then give us your information. We got about 3 minutes.
I just want to thank everybody for even, you know, thinking of me to have me on the show. I appreciate everybody. A lot. Thank you, guys. It's definitely a pleasure. This is one of the first times I, you know, got to do something like this, so it's pretty cool. My information, again, my phone number is 202-906-0035. Again, that's 202-906-0035. My email is chefericTolver@thajointcatering.com. My Instagram is Chef E from DC, underscores in between each name. And my Facebook is Eric Tolver Sr. And that's self-explanatory. So, again, like I said, thank you guys for everything. I appreciate you guys so much for it.
Now, Eric, I met you about last Monday. And I was at a chicken place. I'm not gonna say the name of them. Well, I'm gonna say it anyway. And it was Louisiana Chicken. And I brought my chicken back because my chicken wasn't done all the way, right? If I would have known you was a chef, I should have asked you to cook my chicken and not Louisiana fried chicken. But anyway, they finally got the chicken right, didn't they?
Yeah.
But what was funny was you said
that's
you put your order.
That.
Right. But after you heard about what happened to me, Eric, you said, "And y'all make sure my chicken is all the way done."
So
I just, and then after that, I said, "I gotta." And then I came out the store with my chicken, and I met you, and you know, because I like you, you know. And then you gave me a card. I said, "Oh, he's a chef," and I said, "I gotta get you on the show, right?"
Yeah. Yeah, that you did.
And here we are. So,
I appreciate
again,
it.
Let's give Eric a big hand. Let's give Eric a big hand, y'all. Let's give him a big hand. Big hand. Thank you, Eric, for coming on our show.
Thank you,
Eric.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
You know, after all the time it took him to run that chicken down and wrang his neck, they didn't have time to cook him all the way.
That's right. Now, look, to everybody out there, this is Pastor Eddie Jones. Remember this. The only limit in life is the one that you put on yourself, so let there be no limit. Remember that the best is yet to come, and nobody can do what you can do better than you. So remember never to forget that you have a choice, and the choice is what you make it. If you choose to succeed, succeed you shall do. If you choose to fail, fail you shall do. Give in, but never give up. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. I want to thank all my co-producers, all the co-hosts, all the listeners. A shout out to Dr. Reed Adams Jones. A shout out to Prophetess Monica. A shout out to Melanie Aubrey and to everybody on the show. Cousin V, take us out with Ain't No Stopping Us Now. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful week. We'll be here next Monday. Remember to tune in to the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. We're here every single Monday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And guess what? I love you all. God bless you. I love you all. God bless you. And peace. Pump it up, Cousin V. Pump it up.
There's been so many things that held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. If you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well,
don't you let nothing, nothing stand in your way. I want you to live on, live on. To every word I say, every word I say.
cause it ain't no. Please, please, please.
Don't make me stop.
We won't kind of polish up.
Keep us.